I'm sorry, that one was only parent. So John brings kids to one, he's done that for years, many of them have come to know the Lord, they've grown. Say again, Chloe Perry, a little girl. She has cancer, a little girl, who would pray for that? Pray for others in the same situation, someone? Stand up though, we got here.
Oh my God, I just have to. Just bring Chloe, I'm going to you. Thank you that you have given Mr. John the chance to be a part of that family for all of these years and us that.
Thank you.
Give them words to speak, comfort, words about your character and your love for them and their lives.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we pray that you would heal her. Because she is little and has lots of life left. So whatever that means, draw her to you and that out of this will come many stories of things that you would have done. In the meantime, I ask that you be present.
Mama.
That you be at peace and rest and knowing that you are there through it all. We just ask those things in precious name.
Who else? Very quickly.
This is from Todd Carpenter. He says that you pray that Kamei and I, his wife, would test negative and see if our tests soon. We both tested positive a week ago and we tested yesterday and they were results. We're hoping to go to Korea to say goodbye to Kamei's mom or at least with the funeral. Kamei's mom is dying of old age. She is around 90. She's no longer talking to me.
Somebody pray for Todd and Kamei. Who would do that? Someone?
Father, thank you for Tom and Kamei. Father, I pray as they wait for this test, I pray you give them faith and give them a way to hold on to you in every moment. I pray, Father, as they bring Kamei's mother to you in prayer, that Father, you give them comfort and that they would understand you know this situation intimately. I pray that Father, you would allow them to be able to go to Korea and possibly say goodbye and attend the memorial service for May's mother. Thank you and praise for them as they are part of his body. We pray that Father, you would be with them. If they have hope, I pray for your healing touch right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
I found out that the there was a biology on Tuesday for 10 days down at 9.
Okay, so Sarah, you got to attend a biopsy. Who would pray for Sarah? Someone?
Lord God, we honor you. We honor you.
Anybody else? Yes.
Yesterday I got to spend some time with a young woman from Iran. She's a Christian and she's praying for her sister who is stranded in Turkey waiting for a sponsor to come as a refugee here to the United States. Believers, Victor Elliott, they need the church to sponsor her.
Ellie and her sister.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool, pretty good. That and we also have some brother in Africa that we're praying for because it's kind of the same situation. His name is?
Annette.
Interesting name. Yeah. Ellie's sister, Annette. Who pray for that? Somebody? Those that are in a situation like that.
Father God, and this is Jane, that can be very possible. And sometimes these things feel so impossible to me. Stop a bit taking people who are just grow. But you know, nothing is impossible. As Jesus can ask, it's got to be removed. We ask you to do that.
I'm going to ask one of our elders, whoever our elders would, John Scott, would you, as our last prayer during this time, would you pray for the people who have been responsible for this building? And this why in the world God moved in them to let us use it. That's the Lord doing. And also for the students and the families represented by them. Would one of you guys do that for me? Draw.
Father, we thank you for the gifts that is offered to the gift drugs to other blessings. We thank you that that also has been involved in that to us. We ask for your special blessing on the administrators of the 33 who have been just so kind and generous to us. We thank you so much for them. We ask that you look at their lives in ways that they would find pleasant and that they would welcome the drive to close to Jesus. Thank you for the students of this place. We pray for all of them.
Okay, we're going to sing Holy is the Lord and said that we stand and lift up our hearts. That will be all we
Yeah.
Sort of an allegory this morning. morning, which is not normally, as I'd say, the way that I would talk about the Word. I don't really have a sermon to preach. I'm essentially going to read a couple of chapters out of the book that all of you love, the book of Numbers. Go ahead and do that. I'm going to read chapter 13 and chapter 14. I want you to see this only as an extended illustration. This isn't about you in some way, like we're the Israelites. We're not, when you see what this is about, we're not a people who are here to take over a land. It's not what it's about. As far as I know, I've not yet seen any giants here. There may be some, but I've not seen any. But there's something here about what happens when God's people, trying to follow God, are given an opportunity by God for a mission and how they respond to it. I think there's something very important as far as the allegory goes, and you'll know it. So I'm basically going to read the chapters, maybe make a few smart aleck comments around the way, and go on from there. Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names. Here we go. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sogi. From the tribe of Manasseh, a tribe of Joseph, Gadi, son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gamali. From the tribe of Asher, Sethur, son of Michael, Michiel. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, son of Bokzi. From the tribe of Gad, Guel, son of Machir. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. So Joshua is one of those guys. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said this, go up through the Negev and onto the hill country. Seek what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do the best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community of Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But. The people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. The men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. We saw the Nephilim. Remember the Nephilim? The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud, and all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, if only we died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader to go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israel assembly gathered there. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection's gone, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the miraculous signs I performed among them? I'll strike them down with a plague and destroy them. But I'll make you into a great nation, greater and stronger than they. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people out from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They've already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath. So he slaughtered them today. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the fathers, this third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people just as you pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you ask. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who's treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites, so tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more, who is counted in the census, who's grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children, those that you said would be taken as plunder, I'll bring them in to enjoy the land you rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in this desert. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for unfaithfulness, your unfaithfulness, until the last your bodies lies in the desert. For 40 years, for 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explore the land, you'll suffer for your sins and know what it's like to have you against me. By the word spoken. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against them by spreading a bad word about it. These men responsible for spreading the bad word about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua and Caleb survived. And Moses reported this to the Israelites and warned them. So early the next morning, they said, okay, we said, we're going to go where God told us. We're going to go where the Lord promised. Excuse me. But Moses said, why are you disobeying the Lord's command? Again. This will not succeed. Don't go up. The Lord is not with you. You'll be defeated by your enemies. The Amalekites and Canaanites will face you there. Because you turn away from the Lord, he'll not be with you. He'll fall by the sword. Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up towards a high hill country. Though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites, who lived in the hill country, came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Horeb. Interesting story. This is not us. It's an allegory. It's an extended metaphor. God gives opportunities. We can look at those opportunities, and we can look at them with fear, or we can look at them with faith. If we look at them with faith, God goes with us. We're in the right place. We don't always know we are that, but if that's what it is, we're on God's mission, not our own. Think about that. I'm going to use that metaphor in a strange way. I need some more help passing things out. Here's what I want you to do. We're looking at this in a positive way, guys. One more time. Everybody get one. This is your spy notebook. Okay? You got a little spy book. Inside your spy book, there are some questions. So see that as they go out. Here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you this. My assumption is not that because we've moved to a different location, all ministry begins to focus on this location. Not at all. You guys, you're on a mission for God all over this city. But you still can answer these questions and you can help us. What are you guys doing here all over? Did you come just to be here? This is
mine.
There you go. Spying out for Texas. Watch out. I saw you earlier and I thought, I know those folks. Okay, so we're going to spy it out. This could be around here, it could be around wherever you are, but I want you to be intentional. That's all we're trying to do here. Whom do you see? It's even grammatically correct. Whom do you see? It'd be nice if some of us stuck around here and asked, who do you see? You been around here lately? What do you see? What do you see? Last night I had to go buy these tarts that go over the desk there, the little blue tarts that my son told me look like we're in a morgue. Sorry about that, but it covers up those desks that are there. And I went across the street, there were five cop cars lined up at Lowe's. I said, oh, well, this is good. It's just like everybody says, okay? What do you see? What do you see, Raleigh? Why do you have what do you see? Oh, what do you see about yourself? What I saw about myself there is that I had really kind of certain expectations of what it means that my partner is lined up at Lowe's. I've already made some conclusions. But then I said, so what is God seeing and doing in all of this? And then we added, what can I pray? That's not usually what spies do. That's what we want you to do. Now, I'm serious about this. Don't take this and use it to write notes to a bill man or something like that, okay? I'm serious. In your neighborhood, here, take some time today if you've got time. But in your neighborhood, at work, whatever it is, where your life is, everybody get one? Thank you. You're still moving forward. Whom do you see? What do you see? What do you see about yourself? What is God seeing and doing in all this? And what can I pray? Next week when we come back, your Lord willing, we may sit in rows, or we may sit in circles again, I don't know. But when we come back, I want you to have some of these worked out there, and I want you to share some of those with us. God needs you to share that, okay? I want you to wake us up to those kinds of things that God's doing with you. Could be anywhere in your life. Questions? You're the spies. No questions? How many of you will commit to being a spy? Okay. I'm going to pray for you, and then I think we're going to sing. I put my notes down, and I don't know what's next. That's really messed up. Where are you putting my Bible? It's okay. We're going to sing Divine Notebooks, a song, and then we're going to do some reverse hospitality. So let me pray. Let's sing first, and then I'll pray. What are we singing? Ah, no, we're going to leave that until last. So let me pray. And here's the reverse hospitality. We'll send you out to the Lord to finish, okay? The reverse hospitality is this. This room had tables. They're in that room there, no chairs. We have pictures of those, how they go. All these chairs. Pardon? We need to do what? Oh, take a group picture. Where? Right here?
Yeah, I think after we sing it, they can just come.
This is going to get really messy. But we're all going to go out there and somebody's going to take a group picture of us out there. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to come back in. Along the sides over here, there are racks. We're going to put our chairs together. We're going to take them out. I'm especially looking at those who do benefits so mightily for my teaching on Sunday mornings in the youth department. Okay. You guys are going to help. Everybody else help with that. If you can do it, we'll get the chairs, and by doing that, you get to see the rest of this place. It's amazing. There are caverns and caverns. You get to see where we're storing stuff. Then we'll put the tables and chairs back out the way that they were, and we want to carry everything out that we brought in. I won't say what I said earlier, but if you can carry it out, carry it out. We've had our own trash cans here, so if you want, you can put your communion cups in there and we'll take the trash away. We've experienced this from the other direction. We want to bless them with them not having to do anything, if at all possible. I'm sure they still will, but we want to try to do that. So let's set a pattern for that, okay? Eli, are we counting on you to...
Pictures.
Two of you guys, you can work on it. He's got the pictures back there, so okay? Questions on that? Help if you can. Go ahead. I'm not moving any of the tables. Okay, we need young guys to move the table. All right? Anything else? Wow. So, 15 minutes over. All right. Stand up. Sing shout to the Lord. And we'll go from there. Thank you. definitely out there, I'm not sure.
Thank you.